Okay, Beller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Kevin McDonough from the St. Peter Claver and St. Paul and the Sacred Heart Hispanic community in Minneapolis, and then remain standing today for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Good morning, Mr. President and Senators. This day stands on the cusp between Black History Month and Women's History Month, and so I thought I'd bring a few words from an outstanding figure in our state and a member of my parish, Dr. Josie Robinson Johnson, who offered these words just a week ago in the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. We need to protect and love our community. We are able to get the best out of what we are, utilize the strengths and spirituality of our people. We need to draw on our Minnesota spirit. We are a very resilient people who can tackle and address and identify issues. We need to glue the fragments back together. It takes all of us. It takes all of us elders. We can correct our children. Children need to respect us elders. We have to have a society to reclaim our heritage, our ancestral training. We need to come together. Let us pray that all this might come true in this Senate and for our whole state. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, stay here. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Payne Weber. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Pogamiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vanderveer, Vickerman, Wieger.
Quorum is present. First order of business, messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following House files, herewith transmitted, House file numbers 334 and 598, signed Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Next order of business is first reading of House bills. There are two printed on today's agenda. Without objection, first reading of House bills, they'll be referred to the committees as indicated. Next order of business is reports of committees. Senator Pogamiller, reports of committees.
Mr. President, I move that the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are three printed on today's agenda, except for three that are at the front desk. They will be read, and then we'll take them as one motion without objection.
Senator Chaudhry moves that his name be stricken as chief author and the name of Senator Phoebe be added as chief author to Senate file number 850. And Senator Langseth moves that his name be stricken as chief author, shown as a co-author, and the name of Senator Sharon be added as chief author to Senate file number 684.
Senator. Okay. On the two authorship motions, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Tomassoni, did you have a motion?
Mr. President, members, I move that Senate file number 400, number 9 on general orders be stricken and be re-referred to the Committee on Taxes.
Okay, this is your bill, Senator. And
yes, Mr. Chairman, this is at the request of the tax chair.
All right, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I just want to make note that that's Senator Tomassoni articulated very well today, and I actually understood what he said when he made that motion.
That's not good when you can understand him.
Mr. President.
Senator Tomassoni.
For the majority leader's information, I've been emulating the president and hoping that people wouldn't understand.
I think that was a kind of a shot at Metzen, wasn't it? Okay, then we remaining under motions, we haven't adopted the entirety of the author motions. Without objection, we'll take them as one motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. There's a Vanderveer and Limmer resolution today on the agenda, printed on today's agenda without objection. The resolution will be referred to the Rules Committee. The next order of business will be the Senate calendar. There will be some votes taken here, three votes. I would suggest that you stay seated on these. The first one will be number one on the calendar, Senate File 230, Senator Higgins' bill. The Secretary will give Senate File 230, third reading.
Senate File 230, a bill for an act relating to occupations and professions, creating licensure for physician assistants, etc.
Discussions? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 55 ayes, 4 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The second bill, number 261, Senate File 261 on the Senate calendar, Senator Latz's bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 261, a bill for an act relating to real property, making clarifying technical and conforming changes to transfer on death deeds, etc.
Discussion. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Take the roll.
All right. Excuse me. We'll take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary Secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The last bill, number 3 on the Senate calendar, Senate File 496, Senator Erickson Ropes. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 496, a bill for enacting relating to health modifying the state's suicide prevention plan.
Discussions? Secretary will take the roll. All senators, having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Now, next order of business will be the 11th order of business. We'll go to the general orders. Committee, Senator.
Mr. President, I move the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President,
Senator
members,
Polgar.
I believe there's a list on your desk. Is that correct? Number 11 on general orders, number 6, number 7. We will not do number 12, Senator Fischbach's bill. We have to wait for the House to process that first. It needs to be a House file. Number 10, number 5, and number 8. I would yield to Senator Sharon.
Senator Sharon. Senator Sharon.
I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 684 be recommended to pass.
Senator Sharon, discussion on the bill.
Thank you. This bill relates to the grants that allow any unit of government that is able to sell general obligation bonds to apply for infrastructure grants. What has happened is that schools of higher education, universities who are also able to sell general obligation bonds have not been included in the definition. Currently, local units of government are required to be the applicants in this and owners of the public infrastructure to support the bioscience industry. This complicates the process when the proposal includes institutions of higher education. The application in its current form requires the participation with a local or a regional economic development organization and the approval of the institution as well as its governing bodies. And this would apply to higher education institutions as well. MNSCU is already an eligible recipient of general obligation bonds from the state. However, under current law, they are not recognized as an eligible applicant. What this bill does is extend the definition of the Bioscience Business Development Infrastructure Grant Program to include any entity that qualifies for general obligation bonds. Higher education institutions not currently allowed to apply would be included if this law passes. It's expected that all public higher education facilities will be eligible to apply.
Thank you. Is there further discussion on Senate File 684?
Actually, for just a second.
Seeing none, Senator Sharon renews her motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 684 be recommended to pass. All in favor of that motion, please say aye. All opposed, say no. Motion's adopted. The next bill before us is Senate File 452, Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File Number 452 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, Senate File 452 and actually the next bill that I'm going to do is an effort that a number of the local veterans organizations have been working on for quite a while. In the late 90s or early 2000, Ottertail County designated part of its county highway system a Ottertail County Veterans Memorial Highway. Becker County has been working on this. The county board has designated the county highway portions to be the Becker County Veterans Memorial Highway, and this is the small part of the state highway that connects those county highways would also receive that designation. Members, the funding for these designation signs will be all raised locally. I'd appreciate your support.
Is there any discussion on Senate File 452? Seeing none, Senator Scoy renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 452 be recommended to pass. All in favor of that motion, please say aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Scoy, your next bill is Senate File 451.
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File number 451 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members, this is the Clearwater County portion of the Veterans Memorial Highway system that these veterans organizations are working on. It is primarily on Highway 92 and 200, State Highway 92 and State Highway 200, with the county highways going north and south. All of these systems do connect up, and again, the money is raised locally, and I'd appreciate your support.
Any discussion on Senate File 451? Seeing none, Senator Scoy renews this motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 451 be recommended to pass. All in favor of that motion, please say aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Scoy. The next bill before us is Senator Carlson, Senate File 757. Senator Carlson.
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee do rise, that Senate File 757 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Carlson.
Madam Chair, this bill is a simple correction bill by the agency, and it's to correct a problem where we had indicated that the Department of Public Safety would set a fee, but we also had the fee already set at $2.50. So we're making the correction to just indicate that the fee is already set.
Okay. Is there discussion on Senate File 757? Seeing none, Senator Carlson renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 757 be recommended to pass. All in favor of that motion, please say aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Carlson. Senator Pretner Solon, Senate File 656.
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 656 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Pretner Solon.
Madam Chair and members, this bill instructs the Legislative Energy Commission to analyze the adoption of state energy efficiency appliance standards, including for televisions. And this was it's a very simple bill, relatively non-controversial, and I that's it. I'll stand for questions.
Is there any discussion on Senator Solon's bill, Senate File 656? Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would Senator Solon yield for a question?
She will yield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Pretner Solon, I had a question as I was reviewing this bill. The question I have was in reviewing energy standards in the bill that you have before you, why would we need to give this to the Legislative Energy Commission? Don't we have enough departments and agencies in the state of Minnesota, not to mention all of the other agencies and commissions around the country and other states, that we might be able to look at their information, their research regarding these appliances? Why would we need to make our own separate additional responsibility for this commission?
Senator Solon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Limmer. That's exactly what it will do. The Legislative Energy Commission was created last year to replace the Electric Energy Task Force, and that is their charge, to review overall energy policies like this, and that's exactly what they would do. They would turn to all these different agencies and organizations throughout the country to obtain information and put it into a concise report. This is a recommendation that came to us from the administration.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Prettner-Solon, the reason I'm raising this question is we have to keep in mind that as a backdrop to our session, we have a $7 billion shortfall. And we keep going back and relying on the what I think is somewhat a redundant way of governing in some of the things that we're doing, such as this. We have certainly agencies in our state government that we could just simply assign them to do. We have other states that probably do this. We have the federal government that probably does this as well. We have internet that we could probably pull up all this information in 15 minutes on, anyone who wants to know about it. And yet I'm just wondering why are we propping up with responsibility this legislative commission on something like this when this data is so easy to be harvested off of the data networks that we already have? I would think that perhaps instead of giving more and more responsibility on things like this to legislative commissions that continue to get organized by us and funded by us, and I'm not saying the legislature, us meaning the taxpayers, why are we going about this with this type of information that's so readily available anywhere in the country?
Madam Chair.
Members, we're getting a low under rumble here. If you would turn your attention to the members who are debating on the bill, it would all be appreciated. Senator Solon.
Madam Chair, Senator Wimmer, in fact, not all of this information is readily available. There are many items, many appliances under which the federal government has set standards for, but this is to look at those items which the federal government has not set standards for. And actually, if we were to turn it over to the Department of Commerce, there likely would be a fiscal note on this. But there are funds available in the Legislative Energy Commission that are available to do this very specific type of study. So it actually is a cost-effective measure.
Further discussion on Senate File 656? Seeing none, Senator Solon renews her motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 656 be recommended to pass. All in favor of adopting that motion, please say aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails.
The last bill on general orders, number 10, Senate File 594, Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 594 be recommended to pass.
Senator Higgins, discussion on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 594 expands the work that we did a couple of years ago. The existing Safe Patient Handling Act was for nursing homes, hospitals, and other entities. Senate File 594 expands that application to unlicensed healthcare facilities such as physician and dental offices. The current statute required the establishment of a work group to determine the ability to expand coverage, and the bill before you is consensus language developed by that group. The work group members included members of the Minnesota Medical Association, the Minnesota Dental Association, the Medical Office Managers Association, and the Minnesota Disability Council. The bill requires that the covered clinical settings develop a written safe patient handling plan by July 1st of 2010 to achieve the goal of minimizing manual lifting of patients by direct patient care workers by using safe patient handling equipment by January 1st, 2012. The bill has two equally important goals: to increase access for individuals with disabilities to healthcare facilities and to reduce injuries to direct patient care workers. The U.S. Veterans Administration has developed education and training toolkits that will be helpful for employers and are available effective April of this year at no charge. Once a clinic's plan is developed and they're ready to purchase equipment, there's a wide range of equipment available, and each facility can choose whatever is appropriate for their needs and their patient population. We were pleased to find out in Senator Metzen's committee that there are federal tax credits and tax deductions available that will pay for about half of the costs to the facilities. Members, I think you'd be interested to know that in our hearing in the business committee, one of our testifiers shared with us that he had informally polled several people who live in wheelchairs, and they found that some had not gone in for a physical exam for anywhere from 3 to 16 years, mostly because of issues surrounding their transfer from their chair to a table or other place to get their physical exams. Members, I ask for your support to help reduce injuries to our healthcare workers and to increase access to people with disabilities to get the healthcare they need and deserve. Thank you.
Further discussion on Senate File 594, Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Higgins, would you yield? Senator Higgins, I am looking this over, and I didn't have the opportunity to hear it in committee at all. And I'm wondering, would this require even like the one dentist office or the country doctor's office to put in a patient lift so if someone happened to come in who needed that service, that they would have that available? And if that's the case, could you tell me how much those lifts cost to purchase and install?
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, Senator Roebling, thank you for the question. A patient or even a one-person clinic would have to develop the plan and then get the equipment that's available. Equipment ranges in cost from maybe a couple of thousand up to maybe a Cadillac version of $8,000 or $10,000. But there are federal tax credits and tax deductions that will pay for about half of the cost for a clinic to get the equipment. There are different types of equipment that are available. They're the ones that you kind of think of that you might have seen in nursing homes that might be attached to the ceiling or another device like that. Those are more expensive than some other types of equipment. If it has only one chair, it might be easier to get something that's just set in place rather than a clinic that has multiple examining rooms, examining tables, where it would have to move from place to place. Would probably be the cheapest option is to have one portable one.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It somewhat concerns me that we would mandate this for every facility that sees patients. Sometimes we're driving up the cost of healthcare in many ways already by a lot of mandates that we put in place, and certainly this would be an additional one. Why don't we consider letting the market work? If medical providers have patients that need services where a lift would be required, why wouldn't we let them choose whether or not they would provide that service or not? I guess to require everyone to do it, if I were a person who had a disability, I would look for a provider that could serve me instead of assuming that every provider could serve me. And
I just question the wisdom of a statewide mandate that every provider have this, because we keep talking about keeping healthcare costs down, but whenever we do this, we increase healthcare costs for everybody. And so I am somewhat surprised if all of these groups came together, like the Dental Association and Medical Association, and said, this is fine. Were there small healthcare providers, you know, the one-person dental office, were they aware that this was going to be a mandate for them?
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, Senator Roebling, I think you might want to think of this in terms of the workers' comp claim. One injury to one of their employees would more than overwhelm the cost of this this manual lift or this accommodation. And I actually think that people with disabilities should be able to find a physician or a dentist in their area, regardless of how small or how large. And if you lived in a very small town in Clearwater County or Kandy, Ojai County, to have a system where some people can opt out might mean that you end up going 50, 60, or 100 miles to find a physician who actually would offer that service to have you be able to go from your wheelchair onto an examining table. I think it's a basic right.
Further discussion, Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I absolutely agree with Senator Roebling on this one. You know, there isn't a one of us that doesn't go to forum after forum after forum and hear time and time and time again about the cost of health care. And here we go again, one more mandate on the health care industry that across this state is going to cost millions and millions of dollars. And I will tell you, I happen to work in a place myself for a good long time. Healthcare is taking care of these kind of issues. They don't need a state mandate to do it. And frankly, they don't need a proposed statute here that is OSHA-driven in the end. OSHA's not watching, more than likely, these proceedings today. They're not going to have any idea about what the legislative intent might be. But, you know, I look at this particular language, Mr. President, and I see things like risk assessment. Well, what really is a risk assessment? I see language such as supply of appropriate whatever it might be. Who deems what really is appropriate? I see things like ongoing training. Is that every day? Is it every month? Is it every year? Is it every 5 years? And so on and so forth. I see words like periodic evaluations. Same thing. Is that every day, or is it every 5 years, or is it every 3 years, annually, and so on? This is a license, if you will, in my view, for our good OSHA inspectors to walk into any physician's office, dental office, any clinic in Minnesota, and make their own judgments about what those words mean. All I'm saying is this bill certainly is well-intended. I don't mean that at all. I would say this. I don't think it's needed, and frankly, if it was needed, I think it needs a little bit more work in terms of working out the language so that those involved in having to comply with this bill have a much better idea in terms of what the requirements really are. But again, going back to where I started, why do something like this now? We've got healthcare costs going through the roof, on and on and on, and yet we insist that we have to add more and more mandates to them. I believe in my heart that most dentists, most physicians' offices are able, through ways of their own right now, to handle, in the vast, vast majority of the occasions, those disabled patients that they might see. They know what to do. They're well trained in this. And I just simply think this is a bill it goes a little bit overboard in terms of what we need in the state of Minnesota right now. So I would hope that our members take a real long look at this And remember well the message that we get all the time, health care costs going through the roof. We don't need this. I would urge a no vote.
Discussion on Senate File 594. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to require a roll call vote.
Three hands. Seeing three hands. It'll be a roll call. Further discussion on Senate File 594. Seeing none. Senator Higgins renews her motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 594 be recommended to pass. Secretary will take the roll on the bill. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 39 ayes and 27 nays, the bill is recommended to pass. Senator Betzel.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee do not rise and report.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, I move the committee the report of the whole as kept by the Secretary be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next order of business will be Senate bill introductions. There are a couple of changes on one, page one. Senate file 1021 will be sent to the State and Local Government Operations and Oversight Committee. And on page 11, Senate File 1113 will be referred to the Finance Committee, and Senate File 1114 to the Taxes, and one more on the last page, Senate File 1120 to the Commerce and Consumer Protection Committee. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. Do we have excuses? We're on announcements of Senate interest. Without objection, Senator Ortman will be excused from today's session. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, before we adjourn till Thursday, I want to just point out that we are ahead of the pace this session. We are ahead of the pace on bill introductions. Apparently, there have been 1,124 bills introduced, which is ahead of the pace for this kind of session. So just encouraging people to, now maybe a lot of those are clone bills, I hope. But, you know, perhaps not every bill is going to get heard this first year, so be kind to your chairs. I know they're working hard and trying to accommodate members, but you might start hearing about how that's a bill that could maybe wait till next year, Senator. So I'm just trying to give you a heads up. So, Mr. President, I would move that the Senate adjourn till Thursday, March 5th, 11 a.m.
On the motion to adjourn, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned.